So the four Sundays of Advent have been marked not just by four Gospels from Matthew, but from four quite extraordinary readings from the prophet Isaiah. Beginning in chapter 2, we had the vision of the holy mountain of the Lord and all of the nations streaming together to worship the Lord on his holy mountain, Mount Zion, in the temple. In the second week, in Isaiah 11, we had the vision of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that would be poured out upon the people of God. Then in Isaiah 35, we had another extraordinary vision of the desert coming to life and blooming with newness, the sign of the new creation that the Lord was wanting to pour out upon his people. But then today, we seem to have a rather obscure beginning to what turns out to be, again, an incredibly extraordinary vision. We have the word of the Lord being addressed to a king, King Ahaz. We discover Ahaz in the book of Kings and as well as here in the book of Isaiah. Ahaz was only a young man when he came to rule. He was only 20. And it was at a time in the history of the people of God that was marked by deep sadness and darkness. The kingdom that had been great in the time of David and Solomon had long since passed. That was a quarter of a millennium before. We're in about the year 735. And at this time, Israel in the north is no longer really even part of the kingdom. Israel and Judah are no longer a united kingdom. Indeed, Israel has just gone into an alliance with the kingdom of Syria, further north again, centered on the city of Damascus. Because there's another great empire, the empire of the Assyrians, centered over in Babylon. And that has become this major and dominant power. And so all of these other kingdoms are beginning to jockey and trying to form alliances. And so Israel, sometimes called Ephraim, and it's called Ephraim earlier in the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and Syria form an alliance. And they're saying to Judah down in the south, centered on Jerusalem, either join us or we will invade you. So poor King Ahaz, just this young guy at 20, is faced with this quite impossible situation. These two former allies in the north now beginning and threatening to invade them. Further to the east, and the Assyrians wanting to come down their throats. To the southeast is the kingdom of Edom. To the west is the Philistines. To the south are the Egyptians. They're absolutely surrounded, this tiny little kingdom, barely worthy of that exalted title, little more than just a little chieftain. And Ahaz is just in a fit of depression. He can't imagine what can possibly go wrong. He can't imagine a future of hope in the midst of all of that. And when our reading begins, the Lord himself comes to the king, to Ahaz, and he says, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign." And clearly it's not just a little sign, because what does he say? "Either from the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven." Now that's a pretty big space, eh? So the Lord himself is saying to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign. Not a little sign, but dream big. As big as you could possibly imagine." And what does Ahaz say? "Oh no, Lord, I couldn't possibly. Oh, I'm so very pious and very humble, and no, I won't put the Lord my God to the test." Do you feel like that sometimes? Do you feel that it's wrong to ask the Lord for things? Do you ever pray and ask him for an answer to your deepest longings?
I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm in that same situation where the Lord asks us quite specifically to trust in him, where the Lord says, "I want you to dream with me. I want you to share with me this amazing passion and vision that I have for the world." Not a little vision, not a little dream, but the most amazing thing that you could ever imagine or think of. If the Lord said to you right now, "Ask for a sign," if the Lord made that promise to you right now, what would you dream? What would your longing be? What would you cry out to God for? What sign do you need? What thing do you need right now in your life to make your world complete? And when Ahaz refused to ask for this sign, then the Lord said, How long must you keep trying the patience of men and of God? Do you think that that's what happens when we refuse to trust in God? When we refuse to actually ask Him for a possibility, that we're just trying His patience and He's just getting so frustrated with us that we refuse to trust in Him. And then the Lord promises this sign. And the Lord says, "This is the sign that I will give. A virgin is with child, and she will conceive and give birth to a son. And that son will have the name of Emmanuel. God is with us." If that's in the year 735, then 730 or so years later, there's another man with another problem. Joseph is struggling for a very different reason. Joseph is struggling because the woman that he loves so deeply, the woman that he's not just engaged to, in Jewish tradition, there's three stages in the process of marriage. The first is engagement. But the second, when you're betrothed to the one that you love, the one that you have promised to give yourself to, you enter into this covenant with them. It's a very public commitment that you make. But in this second stage, the couple are not allowed to live together. They aren't allowed to come together until the night of the marriage itself, when ceremonially that will be consummated, when that relationship will be expressed in sexual union. But until that time, if there is anything that happens between them, it's strictly forbidden according to the book of Deuteronomy. And if one of the couples is unfaithful to the other during that time of being betrothed, the penalty is death. So when Mary is found to be with child during this time of betrothal, the penalty that is due unto her according to the law of Moses is to be stoned to death. So Joseph must just be crushed by this. How could this woman that he thought he knew so well, they have probably grown up together in this tiny little village, in this very close-knit society, everyone would have known everyone else's business, even more than Fairy Meadow. And that is this amazing moment when Joseph discovers this terrible darkness, this terrible moment when Mary is pregnant. And he knows the consequences. He knows that this is the fate that she will suffer, but he can't do that. And so he says, "Well, the only thing I can do to keep my honor and to keep her life is to divorce her informally, just to make that as quiet as possible." It's then that, like Ahaz in his darkest moment, that the Lord appears to Joseph and says, "Joseph, don't be afraid. For what Mary has conceived within her has not come from the seed of man, but from me. And the child that is born within her will be the promised one. He will be the answer to your deepest longings. Whenever we have need, whenever our hearts are breaking, whenever the Lord needs to break into our lives, then the Lord will come. Then the Lord will answer. The Lord will provide for our deepest longings. The Lord invites us now to dream. The Lord invites us now to ask for a sign. From the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven, the Lord invites us to cry out to Him, to express our longing for Him in this final week of Advent. As we long for the coming of Christ, let us long for Emmanuel, for God who is with us. Not a God who's distant, not a God who's separate, not a God who's far away, but a God who is with us in everything, every situation, every moment, every longing, every heartfelt cry of our lives. God is with us.
Watching and waiting, wondering just why I'm so restless and sleepless, waking in the night. What was promised soon will be here. I am waiting for Him. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child. Longing and lonely, humming lullabies with arms aching and empty. Heart is open wide, oh, to see him and to touch him and to hold him to me. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child. Searching and sighing, waiting for the dawn of a new day of promise. Emmanuel, come forth. Soon he'll be here right before me. I am ready for him. There's a stirring deep inside me as I'm waiting, waiting for the child.